Good Monday. Today is September the 29th, and you're listening to My Farm, where we're going to dig into some details today as soybean trade and fertilizer news are making agricultural headlines. Neither one of them overly positive, but we're going to get the inside story coming up after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Taking a look at your agricultural headlines, last week the Argentine government announced it would waive taxes on soybean exports, resulting in a purchase of 35 vessels of soybeans by China. Now, the next day, the U.S. government announced it would extend $20 billion in an aid package to the Argentine government and potentially make a purchase of the country's foreign bonds. The timing of that news was particularly troubling, though, as farmers begin to harvest a crop that may have nowhere to go. Now, in response, Ohio Soybean Association President and Williams County farmer Rusty Goble issued the following statement. He said it's hard for Ohio soybean farmers to swallow that just a day after Argentina maneuvered to supplant our market share in China, the Trump administration announced it will send taxpayer money to Argentina to prop up its failing economy. Our own farm economy is in a dire position because of tariffs and a lack of a deal with our largest trading partner. We need the administration to focus on what matters in the heartland, restoring the market that so many farmers' livelihoods depend on. Simply put, China is the top buyer of U.S. soybeans by a wide margin, and during the 2023-24 marketing year, the U.S. exported nearly 25 million metric tons, that's 919 million bushels of soybeans, to the European Union, the second largest buyer of U.S. soybeans, to make up for the lost demand from China. The U.S. would need to find the equivalent of five European unions in the future. Now, to add insult to injury, fertilizer prices are also making agricultural headlines, as five fertilizers were higher in price compared to a month ago, while the other three were slightly lower. Now, for the third week in a row, just one fertilizer had a sizable move. That was DAP at 7% more expensive compared to last month. Now, this marks the first time DAP has been above that $900 a ton mark since the second week of December 2022, and that week DAP had an average price of $902 a ton. That week is also the last time both DAP and MAP were above $900 a ton at the same time. Now, the four other fertilizers that had slightly higher prices, MAP, as we mentioned, that had an average price of $921 a ton, potash at $486 a ton, anhydrous ammonia at $777 a ton, and UAN-28 coming in at $420 per ton. Now, there were three fertilizers slightly lower looking back a month. Urea had an average price of $619 a ton, 1034-0 was $667 a ton, and UAN-32 came in at $474 a ton. If we take that to a price per pound unit nitrogen basis, the average urea price is 67 cents per pound unit nitrogen, anhydrous is 47 cents a pound, UAN-28 is 75 cents per pound unit nitrogen, with UAN-32 at 74 cents per pound unit nitrogen. Now, looking back a year, all eight fertilizers are higher in price compared to where they were a year ago at this time. The last holdout, potash, is now 6% higher than it was last year. 1034-0 is 12% more expensive. MAP, 13% higher, while anhydrous is 14% more expensive. DAP, 22% higher, and urea, 28% more expensive. UAN-28 is up 31%, while UAN-32 is 35% more expensive looking back a year ago. Obviously, a concern when we see where commodity prices are and looking ahead to budget for next year, these increases are definitely concerning. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions now. You know, the 1985 Farm Bill contained perhaps one of USDA's most popular conservation programs, an offering reaching the milestone of 40 years this year. We're talking about the CRP program. USDA's Rod Bain has more.
2025 marks the 40th anniversary of what many consider the Agriculture Department's flagship conservation program. The person perhaps most connected to the creation of the conservation Conservation Reserve Program in 1985, former Agriculture Secretary John Block. He shared some of his thoughts on CRP a decade ago during the program's 30th anniversary. The Reagan administration cabinet member recalls,
"In order to have farm program support, you'd have to take out 10 or 15% of your ground, and some of it was really good ground. So my idea, well, if we're going to set something aside, let's do something that can protect the soil and get some of this fragile land out of production."
So after some debate, Secretary Block managed to include CRP as part of the 1985 Farm Bill. Considering how the program has grown in scope and wide-ranging support over four decades, one might think CRP is perhaps John Block's legacy as Secretary of Agriculture. He says, though, it's just one example of what he tried to do while in office.
"I consider my legacy is working hard to reform farm programs, and that was part of the reform, but we also got rid of setting this land aside, the good land."
And some of that approach comes from Block's experience as a farmer, several decades of experience, where he operated his Illinois farm and enrolled his farmland into CRP.
"We've had CRP land on our farms, and a lot of our farms are not erosive, but we have got some fields that might be pretty flat for the most part, but then there's a river or a stream down at the bottom and it's rough down in there. Instead of trying to farm that, which you'd get a lot of erosion, we put it in CRP."
The fact that CRP has grown into more than just a soil conservation tool over its 40 years is, well, in John Block's words,
"It's blossomed into more than I ever really anticipated."
In part because of its growing popularity with outdoor recreationalists, from outdoor sports participants to those hiking along stream banks protected by CRP land. There is the variety of cover crops planted on CRP land, some with potential as energy feedstock, much of it part of wildlife habitat.
"There's insistence that you've got to have the right kind of crops or foliage growing there, and grass and legumes, so that all of the butterflies and bugs and everything will have a habitat. It just turned into more than I ever imagined."
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.